Deuteronomy 28 is a long chapter. Last week when we read about it and talked about it, it's about the blessings and the curses, things that the Lord does. A lot of people think that the Lord just gives us a bunch of blessings and the Lord will never do anything to hurt us. But His Word is pure, and His Word is sure, and it is a promise that we will get sicknesses for disobeying His laws. We will get blessed for obeying His laws. Everything it says in Deuteronomy 28 can and will happen. We can't take it away. It's the whole Bible, the whole Word. So we're going to read a little bit of Deuteronomy 28. Just go briefly through it. I don't know how I could do that because I love every part of Deuteronomy 28. I really do. And it really helps to see that He does bless and He does curse. It's up to us individually to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes. I'm sorry, I started way on another page. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now it shall be if you faithfully obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all His commandments. We talked about that too. Also says in the scripture, if we disobey just one of His commandments, we disobeyed them all. Being careful to do all His commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beasts, the increase of your herd, the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They will come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing upon your barns and in all that you put your hands to, and He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, as He swore to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. So all the peoples of the earth will see you, that you are called by my name, by the name of the Lord, and they will be afraid of you. The Lord will make you abound in prosperity and offspring. And it goes on and on about all the great things that will happen for us being obedient and obeying His commandments. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will not be underneath if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully. And do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after the gods to serve them. But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe all His commandments and His statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. And if you back up a little bit and look on verse 15 again, it says, but it shall come about if you do not obey the Lord your God and His commandments and His statutes. I charge you today that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Verse 19, cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. Earlier he says, blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Verse 20, the Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, and rebuke, and all you undertake to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until He has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever and inflammation. Do you ever think about that sometimes? Think about that. All these sicknesses and diseases that come upon us. You know, a lot of times we'll get there and we'll start praying. Like Brother Troy was talking on Thursday night, was praying for healing. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm listening. You know, I said, you know what? All of us are having these feelings. I have unforgiveness. You have unforgiveness. I know. How in the world are we supposed to be healed if we got unforgiveness? We got this weight of leaven on us. What gives us a free pass? There is no free pass. His word is sure, it will not change, and He's not going to change it for you, and He's not going to change it for me. And so I went home with that. I was praying for this lady. You know, I had a great 3 days with, put the mains down on 20, Brother Herman. Put all the mains down a little bit, almost to 20. Because whenever I put, and then pick me up on the lapel. Because when I do pass, I usually pick it put it down and then pick him up. Because I got a pinging going on in here. There you go. Thank you. All right. So I had a great time this... That sounds better. I had a great time this week. I had a chance to go out on a boat fishing with some elderly people. They're great people. I just love shining the Lord in front of them, you know, just obeying their rules, doing what they like. And while I was on the boat with them, there's this lady, the wife of one of these guys, and she's up in age. And while we was out on the water, I was told by one of the other guys there, I think the nephew, the son, or a friend is, whatever. He was telling me how the guy's wife, and I don't know how to say this word, but it's dementia. Dementia. Is that how you say it? Dementia. And he said it's a sad thing that she's got because for the past 2 years that she's had it, she just wanders off. She don't know where she's at, where she's going. And then she comes back. Well, she was doing good that day when we left. Me and her husband and one of the other guys, Mr. George, went out fishing. And we had a great time catching trout. We came in looking for some redfish. And we got a phone call. And the phone call that popped up showed the Venice Marina. And I said, that number looks familiar, Mr. Ken. He goes, oh, yeah, let me call that back. Hello? It was the Venice Marina. They said, your wife, she's lost. She don't know where she's at. And I'm thinking about this lady again, you know, because I've been praying for her. I've been praying for that lady. And then we come here. It was Thursday night. And I remembered her. You know, I'm like, God. I was like, you know, I don't know what it is that maybe we're doing wrong. Maybe there's nothing we're doing. Maybe it's just a reason for it. I don't know. But I want to see a result. I want to see something. I don't like to see this. I think about it. What if that was me? What if that was me with that? I would want somebody to pray for me that I want to be at my husband or my wife if I was in her shoes, you know, for a good many more years, not forget who they were. And then him, you got to think about him. He's going to watch his wife slowly deteriorate, not know who he is, who anybody is, and just be somebody wandering around until the end. That must be a horrible thing to watch. And that pricked my heart. You know, I'm like, oh, my. I said, God, I said, Father, I just lift her up to you. That's who I was on my heart when Brother Troy lifted it up. You know, I just thinking about these people. We got to get our act together. We got to get it right. And maybe there's a possibility that God did honor my prayers, and maybe I'm in a good spot the way he can hear them. And I'm hoping I am, and I'm hoping we are together as a unit, as a body, because these people, I think about these people. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? Think about other people. It ain't just about us, our little group. It's about everybody else and everything else. And so I was thinking about those sicknesses and diseases. And those things come upon everybody. And I don't know what they've done. I don't know what they've inherited, but we all inherit it from our forefathers, from Adam and Eve all the way to us. And so I say, Father, I said, whatever it is, I ask for your forgiveness in those people's lives, whatever it is, that they have breakthrough in their lives. And I'm looking for it. I'm looking. Next time I look, I'm looking for, you know, a result, something. And so that's where all these things come from and come against. The Lord will send upon you curses, confusion, rebuke, and undertake to do until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you. The Lord will. Just keep that in mind. The Lord will. The Lord does good. He loves me. Yeah, he surely does. When we disobey his laws, he also still loves me. He's going to do this to everyone that disobeys his laws. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from the land where you're entering to possess it. The Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever, inflammation, fiery heat, with the sword, with blight, with mildew, and they will pursue you until you perish. The heaven which is over your head shall be, we talked about that, like bronze. You pray to heaven for something to happen. It's like bronze. You stomp for the earth to produce for you, but it won't happen. It's like being imprisoned in a big wall, a prison of bricks all around you. You can't get through. Your prayers won't reach out. Nothing will happen because of disobeying, being in disobedience. Unforgiveness was an incredible one to hear from the Lord this morning. I needed that in my life. I want to hear that. I'm going to work on that. All week long, I'm going to work on that. That's another piece of leaven. It has to come off to let the weight off. So we can be free. So we can be free to worship and be in joy and peace and harmony and work together as a unit. Now have the leaven. Pick up the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts. Because the enemy is against us too. You know those arrows are our own arrows. When you have unforgiveness and shoot it out, it hits us. And then the enemy's there waiting, and he comes and he ravages us, right? He comes upon us like it's nothing and tears us up. And we give our open opportunity. We hold and won't let go and just keep getting hit. Keep getting hit. Get hit with blight, sickness, disease, poverty. All these things coming against you. And so there's many, many more I can go on. It's a long, long chapter. I don't have time to talk about the rest of it tonight. But we're going to move on to the next one. Matthew 11:29. And there's a scripture right there. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Sometimes it's going to, or maybe it probably is. I don't know, maybe it's not. Maybe everybody got over it this morning with forgiveness. But forgiveness is a little heavy. Maybe if you haven't practiced it and tried it, you got to try it. All this right here, you got to try it. You know what that taxidermy work? I never did that before. I had an idea because in 4-H I kind of looked it up with a squirrel. It didn't look like a squirrel, but I tried. You know, I did my best. I had little black BBs in there for looking for eyes. It was funny looking. But later on in life, you know, I'm told to try taxidermy. And I followed the instructions. I did everything it said. I don't think I followed the instructions when I was in 4-H. I could tell you the truth. I tried to just do my own thing. So anyways, in God's word, we pick up the instructions. And we do what it says. It's a little bit of a burden. You could try it. But I can assure you, when it comes off, the joy is there. The peace is there. The weight is off. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Sometimes it feels like what we say, what we want to do, is more or better. And in the end, it hurts us more than if we would just pick it up. So his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Let's move on to the next one. Exodus 16. Exodus chapter 16, verses 15 through 35. This is when they came up out of Egypt. When they left Egypt, there was a lot of things that they had habit to. It was used to doing things a certain way. Serving other gods, they had habits, their way. Maybe a lot of times mostly dependent on themselves about things. I don't know. But there's a lot of things that is a replica of us today. We were saved going into Egypt. Father rescued us by keeping us in Egypt. But now it's time to come up out of Egypt. We're learning the Hebrew culture and everything about the word is getting more and more pure. I'll tell you what. These instructions are not a great help if they're watered down, twisted, and deranged. It will not work. It won't happen for us the way it's supposed to. And, you know, as many times when I first started coming to this church, you know, I was uneasy about things because I've been to Baptist, I've been to Jehovah's Witness, I've been to Pentecost, I've been to Catholic, and I came here. And still, there's this uncertainty. All right, I'm going to put all my energy and all my effort into believing what this preacher's telling me, right? And I got to act and perform this. I got to do this, right? And so I'm just going with what I'm being taught. I receive Christ in my life. I believe that he's the Son of God, and also at the time I was taught, everybody was teaching the same thing. He's God. He's God. He's all three in one. You know, and in your heart, it's like, there's something missing. It's like a piece of the puzzle ain't here. And so when it was presented to me later on, not too long ago, just I don't know how long we've been in, a year or two ago, when that piece of the puzzle got presented to me, I was like, that's it. That fits. But before, it was like, I'm just doing this because I want to be saved. I want to make it. But now when you give me the purest form of God, and when it comes from the Hebrew culture, the way it was performed then, the way it's supposed to be performed in our lives, now I could take this instruction, apply it in my life, and it works. Finally, all that stuff we did was like a waste of time, most of it. You know, I'm like, man, we did all that work. And like the taxes didn't work. I'm like, I don't want to do all this work. It takes time. It takes effort. And the whole time I'm working, it doesn't seem like it, but the guy said to do it like this. And you go back and look on the DVD. You go back and look. This doesn't seem right, but I'm doing what it says. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. I'm overwhelmed. But I worked on it. I did everything I was told to do. And it came out to look like it said. That's the end result. So you look at the Word of God and say, oh, He is the Son of God. He really is. He was a man just like you and me. Now I don't have to say, oh man, I can't possibly be like God. How am I going to win? I can't win being God. I can't be like God. But I could be like His Son. I could do what He did, right? I can perform what He performed. Don't cross the line. Don't keep the weight on. Don't stay loaded down. I performed it. You performed it. I'm not Yeshua. I'm not the Son of God. But I'm His brother, He's my Messiah, and I can follow Him. He did everything His Father told Him to do. And when you perform that, the weight comes off, the leaven comes off. And there you see, you're headed for the kingdom. You see your name, you see Yeshua, you see it all right there on the table. You see it right there, and you get there, and that's where you'll be if we keep performing, obeying the Word of God. But if we keep disobeying the Word of God, it'll keep hitting us, weighing us down until we are utterly destroyed. You go to sleep, and when the second resurrection wakes you up, you say, I made it. No, you didn't make it. I didn't make it. None of us could make it if we disobeying Him all the way to the end. I'm not saying you're going to make it. I'm not saying I'm going to make it. I'm not the final judge of that. It's the One who resurrects us. That's who the final judge is. So Exodus 16, verses 15, they come up out of Egypt. Things are getting kind of uneasy for them. They're not used to this. They got to listen and follow the Lord. They got to listen to His voice. They can't follow their own anymore. It's uneasy. I know it's uneasy. So here we go. Verse 15. When the sons of Israel saw it, and what I'm talking about here a little bit before this was about the manna. They had trust in the Lord to provide for them every step of the way. So when the sons of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, it is the bread which the Lord has given to you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it every man as much as he should eat. You shall take an omer apiece according to the number of persons each of you has in his tent. The sons of Israel did so, and some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered as much as he should eat. And Moses said to them, let no man leave any of it until morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Here we go. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part until morning. And it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. They gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. Now on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. Then all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses. And then he said to them, this is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to do a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over, put aside to be kept until morning. So they put it aside until morning, as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. And Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it. But on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. It came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. What did he say about the seventh day? Can anybody remember what he said? Then the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. The house of Israel named it manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Then Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. The sons of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to the inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the borderland of Canaan. So you see, they wouldn't listen. They would disobey. They'd have to readjust again. Don't eat on this day. They ate on that day. They disobeyed God. They had to do the right thing. And he said, take this much, don't take that much. They took too much, took less. The worms would eat, get in there. It would be messed up. It just would not work when they did it their own way. They had to follow God's instructions and do what he said, and it worked. Right? That's what he said. All right? And we'll go to the next one. Exodus 17 is just a little bit over. Exodus 17, 1 through 13. This is just a little bit time after. Leads right into what I wanted to talk about here. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin. The wilderness of what? The wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, encamped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? You see, the people are still struggling, trying to do things with their way. They want to see something. They want to feel something. It just doesn't work. It's not working because I'm not listening to the Lord. I have to obey the Lord. I have to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I have to follow his instructions. Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Are they feeling kind of, my yoke is easy? My burden is a little bit of a burden, isn't it? It's a little bit of a burden. They're not used to this. They're not used to trusting it this way. But it's the way it's got to go. They got to trust that God loves them. He's going to save them. He's going to take care of them. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. And behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now, verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out. And when I read, choose men for us and go out, he had to go choose some people. I'm pretty sure he had to listen to the Lord to go pick these certain people. Remember that? Remember that message that Pastor talked about? He said there was many widows that was passed up. You can get the job done. God anointed Yeshua to get the job done. And then he said, the same anointing that I put on him, you get from him. And you can finish the job, or should I say the task. We can finish the task. Every one of us. He passed up many widows for us to finish the task that we have at hand. We have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We can get it done. The other person, don't look at the other person. Look at ourselves. Let's work on ourselves to get this job done. But he says, so Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out. Fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. And Joshua did as Moses told him. and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up, Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands in one side and one side of the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So as long as he had his hands up, they obeyed the word, they won. Every time their hands were down, they prevailed. Every time their hands up, they obeyed the word of God, follows instructions, forgiveness, the weight comes off, you'll finish doing all your tasks that the Father has set up for you. You'll complete every one of them. Follow instructions, it works. Follow instructions, it works. It comes off. But keep disobeying, you lose. You lose. You keep losing. It's all a foreshadow. It's all in it. It's from the beginning all the way to the end. Everything Father does, he does it in patterns. Just like he said, it works in the same way. Okay, Romans chapter 10, verse 5. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. And the next verse, Romans 10:6, but the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down. And Romans 10:7-8, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, is in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith. You know, if we use the word, take the word this morning, for instance, forgiveness. And we keep saying, having unforgiveness in our heart, and say, Father, I just need forgiveness. Father, I need forgiveness. Please, Father, I need forgiveness. It's like, how am I supposed to give you forgiveness when you got forgiveness? You're supposed to take the forgiveness and perform forgiveness. You have to perform forgiveness. You reach up to the heavens and try and get it. You reach down to the depths to get it. But he says it's in your mouth. It's in you. You need to take it and you perform it like my son did. He's the greatest example of it. Follow what he did. Forgiveness. You got to have forgiveness. If you don't have the forgiveness, what can I do for you? You can pray till you're blue in the face. You can put, we need forgiveness on your wall. You can put all the beautiful scriptures in your bathroom. That's lovely. A lot of people have a lot of scriptures, but it does no good if we don't put it in our lives and perform it. We have to perform it. And God's not doing it for us to have a burden that we have to perform it. He's doing it because he loves us. He wants to see us prosper. He wants to see us succeed. He wants to see us full of joy. But we keep rebelling against him. It's just what's going to happen. The heavens and the earth is the witness against us. It's just like he said this morning. You shoot them arrows out. You go ahead and what you speak out, that's what you're going to get in return every time. When I first started teaching the youth years ago, one great example that I got that I used in my life a lot back then was it was kind of like when you stand on top of a mountain and you echo out really as loud as you can, I love you. I love you returns. I love you. I love you. But you holler out, I hate you. I hate you. I get in return, I hate you. I hate you. What you put out, that's what you're going to get. If we put out a little bit of forgiveness like we learned this morning, that's all we're going to get. If we put out full extreme forgiveness, we get forgiveness, right? What we put out, that's what we get in return. So God wants to give it, but he done gave it. It's up to us to receive it and perform it. We have to perform it. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 20. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. It is not in heaven. Does this sound familiar? It is not in heaven. Where did he get this from? He must have got it from the word of God in the beginning. It's Torah, right? I just read out of Romans. Now reading in Deuteronomy. It says, it is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven? for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. It was the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was with the children of Israel then, and it's still with us today to act it, perform it, and that's the results we'll get. It's all right there. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. You see, when we observe to do his commandments, just pick the shield of faith up. Pick up forgiveness. Pick up whatever it is you're struggling with. You know, a shield may be heavy first time you pick it up. The instructions, you may not be used to doing it or performing it. It'll take a little time. I'm not used to being up here speaking all the time. I'm not used to this. It's not an easy thing. I'm telling you, when I was sitting back there, my human mind was going 100 miles an hour, and I was really trying hard to focus. It's not an easy thing. Brother Herman spoke about that not too long ago in his last message. He says it's uneasy. It's uncomfortable is what he said. It's not comfortable, a lot of things that we ask of the Father to do. But after a while with practice, it gets better and better. And better. You know, when I started charter fishing for the first time, it got frustrating when you're sitting there. You see somebody next to you got fish like crazy, and you only got two. And you go back, and what am I doing wrong? And this person's tearing them up. Speckled trout, I hated speckled trout fishing. They're tearing them up. You have to have your bait, your line set. Everything has to be just right for them trout to hit it. You have to keep trying and doing what you need to do to make it work. You may say, oh, it's not working for me. You got to follow the instructions. You got to do what it takes to get it. You want it? Do the right thing. You got to follow instructions. The waves. There was a time that I'd go out in waves like I went in yesterday. And then waves, riding in waves, I was like, I was having a ball. I was having a good time worshiping God. But there was a time I was like, oh, man. I was so afraid. But after a while, you start performing it, you get used to it. You know, the Spirit of the Lord only comes by faith. And faith and work in His Word. Maybe you've never had the Spirit of God before. Maybe you have. I don't know. But His Word says it. You take Him at His Word. You try it. You experience His Spirit. You hear His voice. You do it. You'll feel whenever you rebel against God, because just like it's like an arrow hitting you in your heart. I promise you, it's a heaviness. It goes, whoop, and it hits you right there. You know, ooh, you shouldn't have said that. Job, you shouldn't have done. You know. You already know. You have that. I think that's already in us at birth. I'm not for sure, but I know that it's just something there. Whenever mom told you not to do something and you did it anyway and you got caught, it's there. So when God says not to do something, we disobey it. The weight's going to stay there. And it gets uneasy. And like he said this morning, your blood comes. All these uneasy. I remember when I first started coming here, my first year here, I had back problems. I had stomach problems. I had nerve problems. While I was working at the time, it was a really, really high-paced, got to be at the top of your toes and serving, it was just crazy working at that job. It was uneasy. And so it had my nerves out of whack. My back, I had back problems, I had stomach problems. And as I started working my way into the Word of God, breaking off the things that I was disobeying God and obeying His Word, breaking off things in my life that I had that was contrary to His Word. And then we had a prayer service. You know, I kind of think about that prayer service that was the thing, but I don't think it was just that. I told my wife, I think it was taking pieces out of my life that didn't belong and putting the right thing in brought health. So the same thing with forgiveness, like you talked about this morning. As we start in forgiveness, health starts coming. All the right things are coming. Your body starts functioning like it's supposed to, the way God created it. And then your blood pressure, everything just starts functioning. But you got to do something. My wife could have prayed till she's blue in the face about, God, I just want to lose this weight. God, I just want to be healthy. But she did something. She said, God, what do I do? She tried one way, it didn't work. She tried another way, it didn't work. Did she give up? No. She kept searching for whatever would fit her. And so she found it. And she finally found something that works. She's in good health. She's lost weight. And other people that's overweight's looking at her, and she's become an inspiration for somebody else. You become an inspiration to somebody else in the life that you live. So in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows. So not only do you have yourself against you, when you throw out disobedience, the minute the enemy sees you throw out disobedience, here he comes. This is my opportunity. I'm going to hit him with this. I'm going to hit him with that. And I'm going to set him in so much confusion. Now, he, that one, and you're so blocked in yourself. It's everybody, everything. Trust me, I know. I've been through it. I'm still going through some things. I'm getting better, though, because I know what it is to carry weight. I know what it is to carry 11, and I don't like it. So I'm constantly, if I make an error, constantly, Father, Father, I'm going to get better at this. I'm going to keep working on it. I'm going to keep working on it. So I take him serious at his word. Next one, slide. Yep. Faith establishes the law. Romans 3:31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. No, we establish the law. We establish it. Hebrews 11:1, like from the beginning, we talk about now faith is the substance and faith is the evidence. Faith is the very act of obedience or disobedience to his commandments and his rules or instructions, or like you said this morning, his message, the message from the messenger. Faith can be seen in our behavior. Can it or can it not? We talked about this a long time ago through our body language. You don't have to tell me anything. I could tell by your body language when you got something against me. I could tell. You can put on your pretty bark, shine it up, and your pretty leaves. But I could see clean through you when you have body language at me or if I have it at you. You could see me. We've been in the Word long enough that we know what's right and what's wrong. So if we don't get it right, shame on us, every one of us. Me, talking about me. We got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, every one of us. And when we bring that together, man, I was so excited about this morning. I woke up this morning, I was like, man, I had a great week. I had one day where I had a real bad day. You know, I got off and I felt it. It weighted me down and I knew it. And I found my little spot. I begged the Lord for forgiveness. You know, I even got sick through that. I got a little cold. I did not get a cold all winter. For the first time in years, I did not get a cold. And I rebelled against God, and I said, I know I don't want it to come. And I was healthy. I was good. I've been doing good. The next day, I had a sore throat, my nose and all that. I said, that was my disobedience. I'm sorry. I knew it. If I deserve it, that's okay. But I've been reading about it, and that's what happens. It's no joke. It's what it says. And that's what happens to us. So it's up to us if we want to live in misery, live in sickness, just keep performing it. If that's what you like, if that's what we like, let's carry the load. Maybe we might find ourselves in a barroom again, loving that better than everything else. I don't know. But all I know is that he said the joy and peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, I had to put these on to go over these again. Go down to the next one. These are the scriptures that was given us today. And I just want to review over them again. These scriptures are so important to us. We really need to perform these in our lives. I read over them again. I was like, we got to go over these again. Look in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. The messenger gave this to us today. And it's very important that we go over these and we use these in our life. Unforgiveness. It's critical. It's crucial that we get this. Luke chapter 6, Verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your... Is that right? Luke 6, 38. Give, and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over for your standard of measure. It will be measured to you in return. It comes back. You shoot them arrows, I promise you. It better be a good one. And you better be ready. I hope you can handle it. I just think about those arrows. Man, it does feel like an arrow when we disobey the law. It really does. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Mark 11:25. Whenever you stand, pray, and forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. So, faith. Emunah, take the instructions, put it to work, forgiveness, and you have the weight taken off. The heaviness will come off, and you'll be able to perform and do everything that God's required of you to do. Ephesians 4:26. Through 37. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. That's the main part I wanted to read that again for. Do not give the devil opportunity. Because he stands there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And it's a shame if we know so much about the Word of God and we allow him to tear us up over and over again. Like Brother Herman said the other day, I took that to heart. That's serious. We can't go to the devil and be telling him all kinds of stuff. Give me this, give me that. We're being prideful ourselves. He's laughing. Oh, yeah? That's funny. Really? You being prideful too. That's pride. We can't be prideful. We obey the Word of God. You do what the Word of God says. Forgiveness. Then he's got to go away. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Right? This is not a game where we're fighting and trying to beat something. It ain't like that. It's the Word of God. It's called forgiveness. We forgive. Try that one on. Pick that one up and try. Forgiveness. And then he flees from you. Try it. See. It'll work. I promise you. Let go of 11. It's not worth it. This one, that one, this all worried a busybody about other people's things, gossip. Way down, go ahead. Keep talking. Throw it out there. And as you throw it out there, the enemy's standing there laughing. Is the devil laughing at you? That's what he said, right? Is he laughing? Are you making the devil laugh at you? Beating yourself up? No, we can't do this anymore. We got to have forgiveness. We got to perform forgiveness. Let's go to Proverbs 24:17. That was a good one. I love that one. Proverbs. Proverbs 24:17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. We got to pray for our brothers. We got to pray for our sisters. We got to keep lifting them up. We may see a fall. We may see a mistake. Father, I thank you for encouraging them. Father, what did Jesus do? He prayed for them. They did some wrong to him, but he knew it. He knew it was going to happen. He still prayed for them. He loved them. He didn't say, "Boy, Peter, when you fall, boy, you're going to fall bad." No, he didn't say that. He didn't say it at all. He saw the good that was going to come about. Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue peace with all men and sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. And then we have James 1, 19 through 20. James 1, 19 through 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I want to stop right there. The Lord just reminded me of something. There was a little story Pastor talked about the other day about being on a boat with some guys. Got the lines all tangled up. And so Pastor had to perform what was right. There was a little song he was humming. And the guy said, "I hum those songs too when I get angry, upset." And so Pastor tells him, you remember the story, that I'm not upset. And the story that he told, I was like, man, Pastor performed that story, performed well. He did good. And I've seen some instances in my past where I didn't perform well. You know, a bunch of guys drinking and lines getting tangled and getting aggravated. Well, yesterday I got tested in one. And so anyways, let me back up the story just a little bit. I didn't have a fishing trip for Saturday, and I was praying for one, and I got one. And Brother Brian called me up and said, "Hey, I got a trip. You need an extra trip?" I said, "Yeah, that sounds good." "It's all right." And so no sooner as I hung up the phone with him, I got another phone call from somebody from Cypress Cove. And they wanted a trip. And I said, "Well, it's taken already. Let me see if I can find somebody that needs a trip." So I found Brother Preston. And so I got him a trip. And so the next day, we all get on our journey, and Brother Brian says, "Oh, these guys just come from a bachelor party and all. They're going to be drinking." I was like, "Oh, my." And I talked to Brother Preston, and he told me what kind of guy he was going to have. I'm like, "Oh." It's like, "God, why couldn't I have that one?" But that's just the way it happened. You know, the Bible says the lot gets cast, and the final decision is the Lord's. And so I was good with that. I said, "Lord, the lot got cast. There was nothing I could do about it. It's just the way it is." So God put these people with me. God put the guy with Brother Preston. That's just the way the lot fell. That's just the decision of the Lord. So I get on that trip. It was a rough day, you know, in the waters, fishing. And so there was a couple of times I got tested. There was one time I was doing good catching fish, and another time I'm between two boats catching fish, and I'm not catching any. And it starts whelping up. I'm like, "What can I do? What can I do to get these fish? What can I get these fish?" I'm like, "But it's going to be all right." And I calmed myself, kept myself in the Word of God. It was good. Then we get on to another place. We get to the end of the day. Everything's working out. They're drinking. They're having a good time. Well, this one guy, he takes that line, and he tries to hum it as hard as he could against the wind. And it's some brand new string I just put on. And he went, "Phew." And I said, "Oh, my goodness, look at this. We got some bad weather coming." So I got there, and I was like, "You got to be real careful how you..." And I started thinking to myself, and I could hear the Lord, "Go ahead, say what you want." I'm like, "Yeah." So I kind of, "It's all right. It's all right." And I got there, and I started working on it. And Brother Brian come on over there by me. He's like, "You looked at your radar?" I said, "I'll look at it again." "Well, it's coming. It's coming. We got to get going." I said, let me get this untangled. And the guy's like, "I'm sorry." I'm like, "It's not your fault, man. It's all right." And everything starts cooling down. You see? You got to practice. You got to work on it. You got to obey the word. I could have got all mad and been out of shape and let it overwhelm me. But I said, it's going to be all right. Well, I got it. I got it. The guy's like, I'm really sorry. I was like, it's not your fault, man. I got it. I got it. So I sat there and I'm trying. And it was a mess. I get halfway there and it get worse. I'm thinking about the storms are coming and all. I said, you know what? I'm just going to ravel this back on right here. And when I get back to the dock, I'm going to get it out. It's going to be all right, man. He's like, all right, that's good. So I put it back together. And then my tackle box, I have one of the little plastic things sitting right there. And the wind blew it. There goes all my tackle. I said, thank you, wind. So I pick it up and I put it all back in there. And the guy was standing there watching me. And his beard got blown down. Goes, oh, thank you, wind. So he picks up his beard. I was like, you got to watch what you're saying and doing. People's watching you, right? I said, man, I wonder if I should have even said that. Thank you, wind. Because it was a little edgy. I think that was on the line right there. So anyways, I had to share that. We got to be careful how we act, how we respond, what we do. Because the whole time I'm doing that line, I'm thinking about his story. I'm thinking about a lot was cast. And the lot was cast. The decision was the Lord's. I got put in a situation. And what did he say this morning? He's going to test every one of us to see if we're going to be in the kingdom or not. That's what it's about, right? In the kingdom, there is none of the wicked. In the kingdom, there is people, isn't people that's disobedient to what he says. People in the kingdom is going to be like he says in his word. We have to obey his instructions. Obey his word. That's the ones that's going to end up in the kingdom. So it's very important that we start acting and performing now. I have two more left. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 10 through 11. But one whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For indeed, what I have forgiven, I have forgiven anything. I did it for your sakes in the presence of Christ, so that no advantage would be taken of us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. We don't have to be ignorant of his schemes. We know God's plan. We know his instructions. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 7 through 9. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report. I'm in 2 Corinthians. I've got to go to 1 Corinthians. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 6, 7 through 9. Actually, then, it is already a defeat for you that you have lawsuits with one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this even to your brother. Or do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? So if we don't perform it, don't expect to be in the kingdom of God. Because it will not happen. We've been told it time and time again. We don't get no free passes. If we don't perform it, you don't get there. So we're getting examined every day. When we wake up tomorrow morning, we may be confronted with the most worstest day of our life. Somebody might chew us out to no end. What are we supposed to perform? Forgiveness. Stand. Hold. Put up the shield of faith. Quenches all the fiery darts. Don't lash back. Because what you put out, that's what you're going to get in return. Don't hit yourselves with arrows. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. If you have any against thought, drop it. Forget about it. It's not worth it. Right? So we're going to end it. You have anything? I'm going to close. Okay. Okay. Father, I just thank you so much for your word, for great leaders that we have, Father. Thank you for these leaders, Father, that we have, Pastor Jesse and Pastor Charlotte, Lord. They've been great leaders in our life for so many years, Father. And thank you for today, Father, that they've gone and they've sought, they've looked to make sure the instructions were correct. And they found the errors by listening to you, Father, and I thank you so much that they've gone and sought them, they found them, they listened to you, and they are performing them. And I thank you, Father, that they perform them before they even give them and teach them to us, Father. Thank you, Father, so much for them. And I thank you, Father, for continually protecting them and watching over them everywhere as they go and everything they do. And I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here. We're all one body. We're all one unit under Christ Jesus. You're the head, Yeshua, and we are the body. And I thank you, Father, for teaching us your instructions and that we perform them well. We ask your forgiveness if we haven't. And we thank you for giving us the strength and empowerment by your Spirit in the name of Yeshua, in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen.